This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of city workers are now striking in Los Angeles for the first time in more than 40 years. KCBS TV reporter Kara Finstrom is there.
This strike in particular will affect a number of services that City of LA residents get. Trash collection, that's going to be put off for about a day. Lifeguards are covered by this, so some pools, some city pools are expected to shut down. And a number of other services will be impacted as well.
Writers, actors, and hotel workers are all striking at the same time. We should learn more soon about this weekend's big riverfront rumble in Montgomery, Alabama. Videos of it have been all over social media after a group of white people jumped a black dock worker. Police have issued 4 arrest warrants so far. In Ohio, a special election today could impact a controversial state amendment soon. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Hi, are you registered to vote?
In November, Ohioans will decide if their state constitution should include protections for abortion access, something that, according to a recent poll, 58% of voters there support. It's a big number, but whether it's enough to pass will be determined by today's special election.
Meantime, former VP Mike Pence has qualified for the first GOP presidential debate of 2024 in 2 weeks in Milwaukee. But political analyst Larry Sabato tells us Pence's January 6th decision could hurt him.
Pence is going to have great, great difficulty getting out of the hole he dug himself by obeying the Constitution. That's really a sad commentary on our politics, but it's true.
The East Coast is recovering from severe storms.
Severe storms, including tornadoes, hit from Georgia to New York. 2 people were killed, including a 15-year-old who was leaving his family's home in Anderson, South Carolina, when a tree fell on him. Marcus Nash is a neighbor.
It's just tragic. I know his mother and everything. We all are real close around here.
The storm has forced the cancellation and delay of thousands of airline flights and cut power to more than 1 million homes and businesses at one point. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Lotto fever still high with the Mega Millions jackpot now up to more than $1.5 billion. Penny Barron's a nurse and taking a chance in Missouri.
It's this high, so why not? Who knows? Roll the dice.
Hey, all it takes is $2 and a little luck.
Crisscross. Cha-cha, real smooth.
Now, if you've been to a wedding in the last 2 decades, you've heard the Cha-Cha Slide by DJ Casper. He died today at 58 after a years-long battle with cancer. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If this works.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. He's being charged with homicide and 2 counts of sexual assault. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. Hearings will continue this morning after 4 witnesses took the stand yesterday. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least tomorrow, the earliest day that some of the witnesses will be able to appear in court. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that today will be hot, highs in the mid to upper 80s, but rain chances are on the way tomorrow and the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular August 3rd through the 13th.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry. Bar.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, our engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers. We appreciate you being with us on a Tuesday, August 8th, 2023. And again, apologize, an hour number two. Although it's getting better, the voice still not back 100%. Still a little hoarse. Still a little hoarse here on a Tuesday. That's even a better one.
It was just a little one.
I was waiting for the whinny, but that's even better. I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
I thought I'd shake it up a little bit, you know.
Was that a mayor? Was that a mayor?
I have no idea.
Look at this. Look at this. We have a rock star now entering the building.
A rock star?
Yeah. Mr. Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow, star of stage and screen from Up North News. He's here in the building. Let's bring him on for a second, shall we? Mr. Zommers is welcoming him in. We'll get another microphone here and have Pat come in. Because this is a rarity. We rarely get live guests here at the show. But he's made his way all the way down from Lake Wasota. I'm not sure if he canoed, kayaked, or rode a...
Do you really welcome in people who literally walk off the street?
That's how desperate we are for guests. We'll take anybody.
Okay, well, we're going for content here, kids.
Mr. Kreitlow, how are you?
I'm great. How's this word?
You got to eat these a little bit.
Okay,
yeah,
I understand. I
that's so, one of those deals. I knew you were coming. We didn't bake you a cake.
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's all right. I just wanted to stop by. I had not seen the place since it was finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It looks a little better.
Happened to be on my way to American Family Field. See a Brewers game tonight.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'll be doing the show live from here.
Yeah.
6 a.m. tomorrow, 6 a.m. Thursday. So I figured I'd better make sure I knew where the place was, where the doors are, where's the bathroom. I mean, seriously, where's the bathroom? I just got here off the road.
Down the hall.
So I'll need to do that. But nice digs.
Well, Pat's, of course, show up North News every morning, 6 until 8 on the network here. But we're going to be at the same place on Thursday down in South Milwaukee for a little public education conference. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be participating in that. And maybe you'll stop by our table and be on the show on Thursday.
I would like that very much. I thought it was... We both had agreed to go to this conference separately. And then each said, oh, and by the way, this Todd Alba is going to be there. He's great. I'm like, I know.
Whatever.
Getting tired of hearing it myself.
Yeah, I know.
I should tell you, though, I did get stopped by somebody over the weekend who I knew from politics a long time ago. You know, just somebody worked the parades and everything. Just a lovely woman who stopped and said, I just have to ask you, is everybody on Civic Media as great as they seem? And I said, absolutely not. Radio is theater of the mind and everything. I mean, you know what a jerk I am.
How do you think
that translates to everybody else? Every time I don't get out of the house much, but when I do, I collect a lot of love for you guys.
That's cool. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to have you here. Mm-hmm. You want to wait? So we talked last segment on these. Congressman Mark Pocan wrote this letter to Republican Brian Stile, who overchairs this committee, wanting to get this tape released of Van Orton, Congressman Van Orton in the 3rd District from berating these kids, verbally abusing them.
Frat party, yeah.
We haven't heard.
Not the kids, the congressman. Yeah.
We haven't heard yet whether Brian Stiles is going to do this. But what's your, we had a lot of calls on it. Why aren't they releasing this tape, Pat?
Fair question. If they can give 40,000 hours, was it, to Tucker Carlson?
Right? 44,000 hours, it said.
We're just asking for 40 seconds, really.
Right?
And honestly, in all sincerity, I think the people of the 3rd District and all of Wisconsin are entitled to 40 seconds of video showing a member of Congress after lots of time spent in an office with, you know, plenty of alcohol seen on site. Mm-hmm. I've asked on my show, and I'll ask it here, does the congressman from the 3rd District need adult supervision?
That's a fair question. Mm-hmm. And Paul from Spooner called in on the last segment. I thought this was a great point. As a former Republican myself, was preached to for a long time about family values, taking care of the kids. Wouldn't it seem accurate, if they're going to follow that through, wouldn't you want to protect high school kids and find out what happened to them?
If they were high school kids, college kids, anybody in a PAGE program, any office intern there, they are being entrusted to go hundreds and hundreds of miles from home, perhaps, to do something for their country, for their member of Congress, for their house, what have you. And to think that they could be subject to something like this from, you know, some two-bit politician, you know, by comparison to what these kids are doing, is really awful. So as much as we might mock the congressman, and I'd say rightly so, there is a lot to be said from an institutional standpoint. If the young men and women we send to our nation's capital are, you know, frankly being protected from some of the more radical people that end up in that building.
Quickly, about a minute and a half left here. I want to get two questions quick.
Yeah, you're right. Look, this clock is huge. I could finally pass an eye test at my age. These are gorgeous monitors. I'm just going to stay here and watch the Brewer game here.
A big screen?
Yeah.
As a former legislator, my former boss, Dale Schultz, and on the Democratic side of the aisle, Tim Cullen, great guys, public servants. But, you know, colorful language at time, the late, great Mike Ellis. But in your experience, in your experience of the Capitol, I never witnessed that kind of language being on either side of the aisle, being focused on the pages.
Never. Never. And I served as a page in the Minnesota legislature.
Did you really?
In early freshman year of high school, something like that. And I knew I was interested in state politics from back then because of the interest that the genuineness I saw from these elected officials. And you and I have seen people like that. Mm-hmm. A lot more of them than there are people like Derek Van Orden.
15 seconds. High-speed internet, a right or a luxury?
Oh, a necessity. A utility.
That's great. And that's the next subject. Great segue. He's a professional. Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 8 every morning. Back with Kamala Harris and high-speed internet after this on the Todd Allbull Show. This is the Civic Media.
Radio Network. Yeah.
Okay. In Wisconsin, making memories together is for everyone, whatever your ability. So here's to soaking up surf culture right here on Wisconsin's Fresh Coast. To making time for stargazing as a family. And to imaginations clear for takeoff. Here's to festies with besties. And singing along to your favorite song. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Start your summer getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is 15 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zauber is our producer and engineer. We thank Pat Kreitlow for popping in on the spur of the moment there. Always great to have a visitor, right, Mr. Zauber? We don't get many, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because we have this brand new studio with all this space to have guests, but... You know, sometimes your guests are in the middle of nowhere or...
Well, I also think people just got used to, after 2.5-3 years of COVID, they're just used to Zooming or StreamYarding, coming in on video.
Which, yeah, it makes perfect
sense. Which is fine, but nice to have a live body. Appreciate Pat. And before we quickly on this Van Orden issue, again, Mark Pocan trying to get the tapes released of Derek Van Orden. A couple of texts from Mark in the SACO says perhaps Van Orden is, quote, ancient Spartan, unquote, in his attitudes. Brothers in, quote-unquote, arms, indeed. Well, perhaps. I'll let that sleeping dog lie. Also, from Jeff and Sherwood at WAUK, asking, why is it Stiles' decision? Because it's Congressman Stiles from Wisconsin chairs the committee which oversees this aspect of the House. So, you know, like in the state of Wisconsin... My former boss sat on was called SCURB. That was the acronym. It stood for State Capital and Executive Residence Board or Committee, SCURB. And so that State Residence or State Capital and Executive Residence Committee, they oversee all the kind of the upkeep of both the State Capital and the Executive Residence where the governor lives. So this is why I had a front row seat. This is why I can tell you without any sort of ambiguity, to go back to the Act 10 for a second, when a lot of people, Republicans, claimed, oh my gosh, all these hundreds of thousands of protesters that came in to protest Act 10 destroyed the Capitol, cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. You want to know what that is? That's horse hockey. Because I'll tell you, as somebody who was the chief of staff for a senator on the State Capitol and Executive Residence Committee, and by the way, great folks that take care of our state capitol, all the maintenance people, all the cleaning people, all the people in charge of maintaining the murals and everything, the amount of damage was so small that they had to take a pencil lead, like a tip of a pencil, and put that next to the mark on the wall and take a photo of it to even discern it. And there were, if memory serves, less than a dozen of those marks in the entire Capitol. So the people that protested Act 10 were extraordinarily respectful in terms of the integrity of the building. They brought like painter's tape to put things on the wall to make sure that it wasn't damaging them. So there's the same kind of committee applies to the U.S. Capitol, and Congressman Stiles is the head of that, and therefore his committee oversees whether or not that videotape is released. Let's move on now. At 18 past the hour, coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend John Roach will be in. Writer, screenwriter, all-around Renaissance man, John Roach. See how his summer's going. I want to see. He's also a big Badger fan. I want to see what he thinks of his having alcohol at hockey games and basketball games. We'll ask John Roach that at the bottom of the hour. Here's another thing, thing from last week while Todd was on a couple of days off. I do not think this got enough coverage. This from WISP Politics. You can find it at wisppolitics.com, a great organization, great reporters, at WisPolitics. Headline, Harris in Wisconsin says broadband expansion will create jobs, boost U.S. manufacturing. The question I have for you, is high-speed internet a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Is high-speed internet a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789. From WisPolitics, during a stop in Pleasant Prairie, Vice President Kamala Harris pitched the Biden administration's $65 billion, with a B, $65 billion investment in high-speed internet as an effort to drive the creation of U.S. jobs and boost American manufacturing. Harris's tour and remarks at Pleasant Prairie at a plant there on Thursday came on the heels of an announcement by Finland-based Nokia that it will partner with the company to manufacture broadband network electronics in Wisconsin, creating 200 jobs. Harris linked the announcement to the administration's efforts to build broadband infrastructure in the U.S., saying she and the president knew the investment would drive demand for products here. Quote, high-speed internet is not a luxury, but a necessity, Harris said, adding Bidenomics is working. According to the White House, Nokia's partnership will make it the first telecom company to begin manufacturing broadband electronic products in the U.S., right here in Wisconsin, when production begins next year in 2024. Quote, for far too long, our economy has not worked for working people, Harris said. So when President Biden and I took office, we decided to invest in the working people of America. Is broadband internet, high-speed internet, is it a luxury or a necessity? What say you? Let's go to the phones. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Our ongoing friend and contributor, Mr. Jeff Perry. Mr. Perry, what say you?
Hey, Todd. By the way, I have an offer for you if you'd like.
Yes.
I know your voice is a little
yes,
a little scratchy there. So I'm prepared, if you'd like, to read aloud from to read aloud from the owner's manual from my old 1975 Mercury Monarch that I had in high school. I could do that if you like.
You have a very smooth voice, and you know, I can listen to you read the phone book, but I'm not sure our entire listening audience would appreciate that. I'm trying to get better, but it's you've been there. It's a bear sometimes. What say you on this broadband? You have kids, Mr. Perry. What do you think about this high-speed internet? A luxury or a necessity?
No, it's absolutely a necessity. And this happened just yesterday in our little village in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure of the reason why. There's a lot of road construction going on, so I don't know if somebody accidentally severed a fiber optic cable or something. But the entire village was without internet for the entire day yesterday.
Wow.
And my daughter works at the local library, and people were coming in and like, I have to use the internet. I have to work, I'm supposed to be working from home. And she had to say, I'm sorry, it's out here too. The entire village was without internet, and there were I'm sure that there were people that were in trouble with their jobs because they couldn't log in and work from home. It is, I work from home myself, a few days a week. Didn't happen to be yesterday, but that was just by dumb luck. It's definitely a necessity, and there are places in the state that don't have it, and that's just ridiculous in 2023.
One of our callers from WAUK, actually it's Jeff from Shorewood, saying, quote, it's a flipping necessity. They forced remote schooling, to your point, Jeff, and they're still advertising it for private online schools. So I agree. I think, to me, it's not even debatable. I mean, I think Pat Kreitlow said it before the break. It's basically now a utility, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah, definitely a necessity. It should be, it's like water and electricity at this point. It really is.
I agree with you. Jeff, always a pleasure to hear your voice. Yours is certainly much better than mine today. So maybe I'll take you up. If things go sour with John Roach, I may bring you in and just read the manual.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready at a moment's notice.
All right. Stand by, Jeff. Appreciate you. Thank you, Jeff Perry. What do you think about this high-speed internet, a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, always a pleasure. What say you?
Well, thank you, Todd. Nice show today. The first thing I want to say, though, is I was down in Madison during Act 10. Peaceful, no damage that I seen. So if Walker was the one that was scared, he hid in a tunnel. He, right. He wouldn't even come out and greet the people. So the man was petrified.
He was.
And I don't know why, because it was a peaceful demonstration. But high-speed internet is a necessity. Put it in everywhere you can. Spend the money. You just have to have it. Nowadays, it's not completely similar, but it's much like electricity. That's just the way it is. Thanks for your show, Todd, and letting me talk.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
You're welcome here anytime. Appreciate Wisco, Paul. Thank you so very much. I agree with Wisco. I absolutely agree. It is a utility at this point, because as we move on in life and time, I mean, most places, I don't care whether you're applying to a Baskin Robbins or a Fortune 500 company. Most places, you can't even go in and turn in a paper application anymore. They say, well, go online here, fill out our application. So how do you get employed if you don't have internet?
And how do you have a company if you don't have internet? Because right. You need to accept those applications. And let's say you need a pharmacy in your rural town. All those insurance claims, even if you could file them by paper and not online, it would take ages. And you need to be able to dispense medication. You need to be able to communicate with other hospital systems. And you might say, well, I'll just go to a bigger city for that. But that why would you deny smaller communities the opportunity for growth?
And you just hit the nail on the head, Mr. Zomers, that this is not about supporting urban liberals. I'll be very generic for a second to make my point. This is not about, you know, oh, we're going to make sure these big cities are taken care of. Mr. Zomers is 100% correct. This is about taking care of rural Wisconsin. And I want all of Wisconsin taken care of, both urban and rural. But the amount of access to high-speed internet in the rural parts of the state versus the urban parts of the state is dramatic. And this is the irony, is that the Republican Party, who are the people who by far and away represent a lot more of rural America, rural Wisconsin than Democrats, they are the most opposed to making sure that we get high-speed internet to their own constituents. Remember, it was Republicans and Democrats working together that helped rural electrification in this state. And yet today, when we have a vice president, Kamala Harris, that comes to this state and announces this investment in broadband, you know what the Republican response is? Here is Brian Schimming, the Republican state chair. His response is said the visit, quote, will be nothing more than a failed attempt at damage control. You want to know what? You don't want to know what that? I'll tell you what it means, because I've been there. It means they got nothing. All right? They got nothing. What used to happen is it used to be that when one party had an idea like this, we're going to invest in the state, you know what was good politics back then? Would have been for Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu to stand next to Harris and say, you know what? We might disagree on a lot, but we can agree on the fact that Wisconsin needs broadband internet. They didn't do it, because they're too much of a bunch of partisan goofballs. Back with one person that is not. That is John Roach. He'll be with us. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of city workers are on strike now in Los Angeles over alleged labor violations. But union leader Hilda Valdez says the city's not negotiating in good faith.
Our members are really fed up. The city cannot treat our workers this way and think that we're not going to call them out.
Hollywood and hotel workers are on strike there, too. Police have issued arrest warrants for a big riverfront brawl in Montgomery, Alabama. Chief Daryl Albert.
We have instructed those individuals to turn themselves into law enforcement, and as at this time, one is secured and in custody. The other two are set to turn themselves in.
Special election voters in Ohio could impact the vote count needed to get an abortion amendment passed in the state soon. Rachel Bells with Ohio Citizen Action opposes it.
Really, the supporters of Issue 1 are asking us as voters to willingly vote to weaken our own democratic rights so they can get and keep what they want.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. He's being charged with homicide and two counts of sexual assault. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. Hearings will continue this morning after four witnesses took the stand yesterday. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least tomorrow, the earliest day that some of the witnesses will be able to appear in court. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that today will be hot, highs in the mid to upper 80s, but rain chances are on the way tomorrow and the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
93.5
The Tap.
Welcome back to Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, the 8th of August, 2023. Glad to have you along. John Roach will be awaiting him. It was a technical glitch on our side, so we apologize for that. But I believe Mr. Zommers will be joining us either in StreamYard or on the phone. So we'll kind of be watching both here to see if we make connection with Mr. Roach. And, well, look at he's that quick. I mean, I just mentioned his name and he pops on just like that. Finish up a couple of thoughts before we go to John. A couple of people here on the text line regarding internet. Is broadband internet or high-speed internet, is it a luxury or a necessity? Says many people, here's a texter from Madison, says many people say they go to the library in places like Texas are closing many libraries. Good point. Also, Karina, who is waiting on the phone line, said it's depriving rural communities and minorities of internet. It's a likely calculated move to prevent them from being informed and voting Republicans out of office.
Right, and that's paraphrased. But yeah,
it's an interesting perspective. Also, Lynn from Minneapolis, we appreciate you listening in. Lynn said that it's like a utility. Power companies should install fiber optics.
Right, and they also mentioned that just like those companies, they'll pay the upfront cost for installing infrastructure, and they're not expecting to be paid back for it immediately, whereas companies like Verizon are like, you're paying me back this year or we're not doing it.
Great points. Appreciate you listening in on the show this afternoon. And I believe through the magic of, speaking of high-speed internet, we go all the way to northern Wisconsin. Our friend John Roach making an appearance with us again. John, first of all, my apologies. We kind of messed up on getting you the right link, so that's on us. I apologize for that.
I probably screwed it up, Todd. Probably my bad.
Well, we were talking last, those of you haven't joined us before, what the heck's the matter with them? But no, John is a longtime writer. He is an author, a screenwriter. I called you earlier in promoting this segment, and I truly mean this. You are a Renaissance man. Because you do so many things and you do them well.
Well, thanks. I think it's more about just having a short attention span. by the way, speaking of broadband, I'm coming to you via Starlink.
Oh, well, there you go.
Up here. And can I just tell you, broadband accessibility is a huge issue. Rural kids are being screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like not having electricity or running water in the modern age. And, cell service is not good in the upper third of the state in many areas. And the old dish satellite services were not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Starlink is an epiphany. I mean, it's so much better than the other options, and so easy to install.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And Matt Flynn, the Matt Flynn show that comes on after ours, when we get together, he and I mean, Matt Flynn is a former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, older than me, but we've both been around politics. Matt, like, and I cleaned up for radio. Matt says, you know, we've seen some stuff. and insert other words for stuff. You've been around a while. You've seen some stuff. I made this point
I'm 70 years old, man. I've been around forever.
And you don't
I'm older than...
You look like I could have graduated with you, for goodness sake. Come on now. But here's the point, is that you've been around for a while, and I made the point earlier, agree or disagree, if guys like Jim Doyle on the Democratic side or Tommy Thompson on the Republican side were in office and a president or vice president of the different party came to the state and said, look, we're going to give you billions of dollars for broadband internet, they would have put aside those differences for a moment and said, you know what? We can disagree on a bunch of stuff, but we're happy the vice president came here to give us this money to help all of Wisconsin.
No question. Look, what has happened in our nation, the polarization, is appalling. Tommy was always willing to work to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Doyle as well. But Tommy is more remarkable given what has happened to the Republican Party,
right,
where to me, the Republican Party has been more drawn to its fringe than the Democrats have been to their fringe, because Joe Biden doesn't play on the fringe.
No.
He's a centrist Democrat by and large.
Mm-hmm.
and he's worked across the aisle his whole career. Counting among his friends at one time, Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So, I lament the fact that the middle has been lost. And I think the media has driven a lot of it. I think channel fragmentation, where people of radical viewpoints can find someone to verify their position, even though it's not based in fact.
Mm-hmm.
that's why this entire indictment of Trump is so fascinating, because Jack Smith seems to be a pretty bloodless dude.
Right.
He's just the opposite of Trump, who's all bluster and anger and, right, you know, overwhelms you with unverifiable statements or lies.
Mm.
And Smith speaks very little, doesn't seem to like the media, and obviously must lean in on provable fact to have his indictments have any chance of being ending up in a conviction. And, you know, we have lost the ability to discuss using objective fact that all parties can agree on.
Yeah.
And that's not good for a democracy at all.
I want to go back to something you said, because I think it's fascinating. You brought up the media, which, of course, we're a part of. And, you know, we've never hidden the fact that we're owned by, you know, a guy that's a predominantly Democratic giver. That's open.
Sure.
But his edict to us, I've told this, I'll keep saying it because people need to hear this. When I sat down, I said, what is the agenda? Because I didn't have any ambition to join an organization where I was going to be a mouthpiece. I said, so what's the agenda? What am I supposed to, what do you want me to say? And immediately he says, tell the truth and do it with integrity.
Right.
I can do that.
Hello.
I can do that.
Hello.
And so
I mean, it's not that hard.
Right? And so what is it, John? Why? I agree with you. I think you nailed it, that there's so many echo chambers now, and people want to go to the echo chamber instead of listening to a guy like when we were growing up. You know, I'm a little younger, but yeah, I watched Walter Cronkite. And you know, when he said that's the way it is, America just trusted him. That's the way it was.
Well, so I sat on the UW Journalism Board for Board of Visitors for 6 years. I worked for ABC, CBS, and, you know, I've never been in a meeting. I mean, first of all, everyone has a bias, right? Mm. That's understandable. And I think some media institutions that are credible institutions have a bit of a bias. The New York Times leans left of center, the Washington Post left of center, Wall Street Journal right of center. But there are some honorable journalists at all those publications. And if you do something gratuitously dishonest, you will lose your job.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, there are professionals amongst those ranks, and these conspiracists who think that somehow the New York Times and Washington Post manufacture facts. They have fact checkers.
Right.
I wonder how many fact checkers Fox News has.
I can't imagine any.
If any.
Right.
If
yeah. Any. Really? I'm not joking.
And I am too.
Yeah.
I would like to know that. now, some of the hosts and correspondents may have an ethic inside their staffs that they do check fact, but there are a lot of those shows that don't. And it's not as if the left isn't guilty of hyperbole as well.
Right.
But Trump created this incredibly toxic brew along with Fox News, some Fox News commentators. I think that has been really destructive for our democracy. And what happened on January 6th was unprecedented. And there was an article in the New York Times today about someone who thought that Jack Smith was, you know, playing with fire.
Yeah.
And my response was, well, look at the fire that we're playing with if we don't prosecute Trump.
100%. 100%. I was looking at my phone quick because you jarred my memory. Something that happened just today, or at least I guess late yesterday, it's all over Twitter. And by the way, I'm still calling it Twitter. I refuse to call it X. But it's all over Twitter. Britt Hume, a guy who at one time was a very respected chief political person at ABC when Peter Jennings was the anchor there. He left years ago to go to Fox, and in my opinion, he's gotten a little foxy over there. But Britt Hume had the audacity as the chief political person at Fox now to call out Trump, because Charlie Kirk, right-wing former congressman, he said this. Kirk said, if Trump was such a failed president, why are they doing everything possible they can to prevent a second term of Trump, unquote. Britt Hume responds, quote, oh, I don't know. Maybe they just don't want a repeat of a failed presidency. Just guessing here. Britt Hume.
I responded to that tweet myself. I said, because you don't want to fail again.
Right. But the point is that now all the right-wing folks, you know, on social media are attacking Britt Hume for having the audacity to call out the truth.
Yeah. No, they're a little bit of a circulate. Fringe right is a little bit of a circular firing squad now.
Yeah.
They're eating their own, right?
Right.
And I think what is really interesting is Mike Pence's change of rhetoric since the indictment.
Yeah.
First of all, he's differentiating himself from other Republican primary candidates by being kind of forthright and much less of a toady than he was for 4 years. Because he, you know, to some extent, he's pretty much complicit in the Trump presidency. But he did act honorably on January 6th. I give him full credit for that. Mm-hmm. You know, for him to refuse to get in that limo, I thought was a big moment in American history.
Absolutely.
To not leave the building. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see if he can start being a lightning rod for moderate Republicans, because the truth is Trump wasn't able to destroy our democracy, but the verdict is still out as to whether or not he's destroyed the Republican Party.
See, I think the verdict is in. I just don't see how the current iteration of the party. I mean, I've talked to, you know, I could sit on the air. John Sharpless, a guy whose race I ran, a former UW professor, very moderate Republican on many things like women's.
Scott Klug.
Yeah, Scott Klug, our friend Scott. I asked Scott on the show a couple weeks ago. I said, "Could you get elected in a Republican primary in this district?" And he said, "No."
No. Well, there was gerrymandering done by the Dems that made it tough for Scott.
Right.
They did away some of the rural things, but that's neither here nor there. Scott's an honorable guy, too.
Moderate. Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I voted for Tommy Thompson. Okay.
Right, yeah.
I never vote a straight ticket. I'm a total independent.
Yeah.
And I wish that there was a moderate Republican Party that presented an option for me as a voter, because I'm not inclined to give any party my full blind loyalty.
Right.
As I've said in my old column, I'm grateful to both Republican and Democratic office holders for their willingness to serve, and I will respectfully continue to trust neither.
Well said.
You know, you can't blindly follow any politician. Well, to my way of thinking.
To your point, former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, of course, from Janesville, a Wisconsin favorite son. We're both the same age. And, you know, he's come out and said not only will he not attend the National Republican Convention in Milwaukee next year if Trump is the nominee, he will never vote for the guy, never support the guy. Now the guy that came after him, worked for him, Brian Stile, who's there now, he comes out this week and says, yep, if Trump's the nominee, I'm all in.
Paul for a long time. And, you know, he reached some common ground with Barack Obama, mm-hmm. to his credit, right?
Right.
In working out the budgets and stuff. But I don't know if you remember, but Paul wouldn't say Trump's name during the Republican primaries in 2016. He wouldn't say his name.
Yeah.
And then Trump is elected. And that was a leadership moment for Paul. And he fell in with Trump. And I found that a little disappointing. I know that he had to work with the Republican president, but he could have retained a level of independence in the face of Trump's hyperbole and lies. I wish he had. I think history would have been very kind to him had he done that.
Agreed. John, we're going to turn the page when we come back with your permission, because you know something about Wisconsin hockey and Wisconsin basketball.
Sure.
And I'm not speaking out of turn. I don't think you may have had a Wisconsin beverage or two. The university has decided to mix those things. Alcohol is going to be sold at the Cole Center for hockey and the Bond Center as well, and also for basketball. We'll come back and talk to John about that. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media,
608-819-8255.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Sure, a lot of New York fans will be ready to go to Chicago for the big game tomorrow.
That's right, they're going to be flying there. And that's why right now, we'd like to offer those New York fans a few tips on how to handle the long, painful flight back home.
That's right, because 2 hours can seem like an eternity when your hopes have been dashed by doubles.
Welcome back to the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Network. It is 10 minutes before 3. That's 10 minutes before the Matt Flynn Show. A great job by Mr. Aaron Zomers on the board. You're asking, why is he playing that? Well, we had a little discussion with John Roach over the break, and you always learn something. It's like the layers of the onion come off. Explain to folks the impetus of that, John, and your – I didn't know you were on ESPN and had this show that was – that predated this. Whoop, hang on. Start over again. We had your mic off. Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I just mentioned the break that – you know, we were going to talk about a sports topic, and that is serving alcohol at Camp Randall. And I said, you know, I did sports journalism for a long time out of Chicago. I had a show called The Sports Writers on TV, which was, you know, four crusty Chicago sports writers, Bill Gleason, Bill Jouse, Rick Tellender of Sports Illustrated, and then the host, Ben Bentley, based on a WGN radio show. And I converted it to TV, and it became a cult hit. Syndicated nationally in all the sports regionals as they were growing, and it was popular in Chicago at the outset.
Yeah.
And Second City in Chicago had a sketch using our show as fodder, and that was the Bears the Bulls sketch, which made its way to SNL with Chris Farley, George Wendt, a friend. Yeah. So that's what we were talking about.
That's amazing. I just love the fact that that sketch came from something that you created. I did not know that about you. So that's super cool. Speaking of sports, before the break, we were talking that Chris McIntosh, the athletic director at UW here, has announced that a little change in plans this year. They're going to start selling alcoholic beverages at both men's and women's basketball games, the Kohl Center, men's hockey games at the Kohl Center, and women's hockey games at Le Bon Arena. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Money. I think it's about money.
I agree 100%.
First of all, there are going to be about 25 college programs left standing when the television deals all settle in. And Wisconsin is in the running to be amongst those schools. Certainly the expansion of the Big Ten bodes well for Wisconsin. But if you look at Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin has a half to a third of the population, a half to the third of high school football programs, a half to a third of African-Americans who comprise a huge percentage of elite athletes on the college and pro scene. And our state economy is half or less of those of Pennsylvania, Ohio, California, which has just been added to the Big Ten, which is the fifth largest economy in the world, right ahead of Germany. And so for Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nebraska to be competitive over the long haul, they're going to need some private donors, and they're going to need, indigenous revenue streams, and alcohol is one of them. Wisconsin is hardly the first school to feature this. Wisconsin, I think, has held off longer than others. I think that it was only a matter of time. Now, I find it funny because when I was in school at Wisconsin, you know, you could, lob a grenade and it could go off and no one would be hit by any shrapnel.
Right, right.
They would pay you, they would give you booze to come to the games. And people were smoking weed and drinking openly because there were 28,000 people in Camp Randall.
Right.
I do think that Wisconsin has issues with alcohol, which I think the university will be mindful of. They've been serving alcohol in the suites
right.
for well over a decade. So this is kind of an incremental increase in the serving. I think it'll come with some attendant police costs, but I think it's about revenue and it's about Wisconsin sports being competitive and also providing an entertainment experience that rivals the Brewers, the Bucks, yeah. and the Packers, all of whom who serve beer and seltzer.
Because I remember I had season tickets to men's hockey for a couple of years when they were back at the Coliseum, and you could join.
Yeah, I used to pour beer.
Well, you could be at the Blue Line Club, right, and go to the Blue Line Club behind the blue curtains and get all the beer.
I was in college, and I knew the guy who ran concessions at the Coliseum, and you get to go to the games for nothing. And 3 minutes before the end of the period, you run down and pre-fill 20 glasses, and then you just be throwing beer at people.
That's great.
So yeah, I mean, it's not just Wisconsin, Todd. It's where all of these schools are going. Right. It is an arms race of cash.
I agree with you 100%.
You know, athletes are now asking people to pay them to visit universities on recruiting trips.
Wow.
That's how mercenary it's become.
I mean,
I get it. If you're paying a coach $10 million, an athlete has every right to ask for compensation.
And you know, Nigel Hayes, former basketball player here at Wisconsin, was one of the first. Remember that sign that said, you know, athlete send money or whatever it was when College Game Day was in town. And people kind of laughed at him. But really, he was one of the main people, the impetus for the start of this whole conversation for NIL. And I'm fine with the players getting a cut. But to your point, I mean, Pete Carroll, now at the Seahawks, formerly USC, he was lamenting in an article a couple of days ago that, you know, the Pac-12 is now gone and the state of college athletics. About 2 minutes left, John. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I think that they're going to have contracts for the players, just like they have professional contracts. I think the players are going to have agents. Yeah. The elite players are going to have agents. I think the really interesting challenge for Luke Fickell is transfer portal kids are going to come and go. If you're a four-star and you're not playing, you're going to leave the next season.
Yeah.
I think the challenge for Fickell is to use – to retain some of the vestigial parts of what worked for Wisconsin since the Alvarez era dawned. And that is bring in great walk-ons and 2- and 3-star athletes and develop them because they'll hang with the program, right? When you start trafficking in 4- and 5-star athletes, if they don't see the field, if they don't get as many shots as they want in a game, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
What's your
take on our last? We've got 45 seconds, a minute here. What's your take on the outlook for Wisconsin football this year? Because there's an awful lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think that promotion isn't productivity. I wish Coach Fickell nothing but the best. Remember, I played for Paul Chris' dad.
Right.
The Chris are family friends and just like they are to everyone in Southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I wish Fickell the best. I think he's a good coach. I think he's brought enthusiasm. But he's a new coach. He's got a new offensive coach, a new defensive coach, an all new offensive scheme and an all new defensive scheme. And I think 14 transfer portals. These transitions are very tough. I think if they win 9 games, that'll be a good year. I don't think they're going to waltz into the national championship.
John Roach, you are a Renaissance man. You're one of those people, my friend, that every time I hear your voice and talk to you, I feel better for having done so. Thanks for being so gracious.
I'm blushing.
No,
thanks.
Seriously. Thank you. John Roach from somewhere beautiful up north. Thank you very much. Also, thank you to Pat Kreitler earlier, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. And, of course, most of all, for all of you for listening, we appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're believing, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next.
If you
care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.